Good evening, everyone. My name is James Sagerton. This is the October. Oh, I have a typo here. It's the November 9th, 2021 meeting of the Pacifica National Finance Committee. And I see that I am looking at the wrong version of the agenda. So bear with me for a moment while I call up the correct version. Here we go. Okay, so this is the November 9th, 2021 meeting of the Pacifica National Finance Committee. We believe we have quorum. I'm going to ask the secretary to please take the roll.
Okay, please answer up when you hear your name. Sharon Adams?
Here.
Teresa J. Allen?
Present.
Nick Arena? Fred Blair?
Present.
Chris Corey? Lyndon Foley?
Here.
Elizabeth Von Gunten?
Here.
Julie Hewitt?
Here.
R. Paul Martin here. James Sagerton?
Here.
Anita Sims. Okay, that's eight, and that is a quorum.
Thank you very much, R. Paul. Okay, I'm going to
Point of information.
Yes, go ahead.
Is Anita Sims on the call?
She is not. Anita is okay. Utilizing some use-it-or-lose-it vacation time.
No problem.
She's
I
been
just
doing
wondered.
That for the better part of the week.
No problem.
Using
Thank
it
you.
Before losing it. You're welcome.
Lydia is on the call.
Yes, Lydia is on the call. Alex Steinberg is on the call. And Julia Kennard, the controller from NEDA, who is the hands-on person for most of the Pacifica work at NETA. So she's a very valuable person to have on the call. So that being said, I am going to read the agenda, which begins with number one, convene meeting at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Number two, roll call. Number three, adopt the agenda. Number four, chair's announcements for 2 minutes. Number five, minutes approval for 3 minutes. Number six, discuss adding NETA controller to the NFC mailing list, 5 minutes. Seven, report, if available, on the KPFK fund drive, KPFK treasurer, 5 minutes, report and question and answer. Number eight is report, if available, from the Pacifica executive director, 10-minute report and Q&A. Number nine, ICFO report, 20 minutes, report and Q&A. Number 10, National Office Budget and Central Services Formula, 40 minutes. Number 11, Budget Timelines and Schedule for NFC Review of Budgets for Fiscal Year 2022, 5 minutes. Finally, Unfinished Business with the National Office, compile a list to share with the National Office of year-end outstanding items. Number 13, adjourn no later than 10:15 p.m. Eastern Time. Is there any discussion of the agenda?
R. Paul?
Go ahead, R. Paul.
Yeah. On the agenda, when it hits the minutes, FY space 2022 is going to be just FY 22, and National Office will be spelled out each time it's in there. So,
very good. Those are good hints for better agendas in the future. Thank you. Anything else? Is there any objection to adopting this agenda? Hearing none, we'll consider it adopted and move ahead to the chair's announcements. I'll try to make this brief. Tonight we will review a draft of the Pacifica National Office, or PNO, budget. We do not yet have the year-end September financials for review. All the necessary information has not been received from the stations in a timely manner. We hope to review them at our next meeting, along with continued consideration of the National Office and the Central Service, National Office budget and the Central Services formula. Tonight, we will also discuss unfinished business with the National Office and compile a list to share with the National Office of year-end outstanding items. I will say, if we get to it. Nick Arena cannot be with us tonight. 2 weeks ago, he sent a fiscal year 22 WPFW draft budget to the NFC mailing list for us to review at a future meeting. He reports that WPFW made its full fall fundraising campaign goal of $300,000 during the scheduled 3 weeks. Congratulations to WPFW. Chris Corey may be late or absent. He is in transit. Preparations are ongoing for the fiscal year 21 audit. The outstanding balance of the fiscal year 20 audit has been paid, and the fiscal year 21 audit can commence. There is no new word yet on additional approvals of Pacifica's EIDL loan emergency industry injury disaster loan application. There are no other new announcements. I guess I will just add for the public's benefit, I don't recall if Teresa said that while we were on stream, that Anita Sims is taking some well-deserved use-it-or-lose-it vacation time and is not with us tonight, but we do have Julia Kennard, the controller at Pacifica, who does most of the hands-on work on our account. Okay, those are the chair's announcements. Now I understand, R. Paul, we have some minutes to approve.
Yes, we do. And so I move to approve. Oh, let me move that over there. I move to approve the minutes of the October 12th, 2021 NFC meeting.
Is there any discussion or correction? Hearing none, is there any objection? Hearing none, we'll consider that done. Go on, R. Paul.
Okay, I move to approve the minutes of the October 26, 2021 NFC meeting.
Again, any discussion? Any changes? Adjustments? Hearing none, we'll consider that approved. And with the proviso, of course, that minutes can be adjusted or corrected at any time in the future. Thank you, R. Paul. Now we will go to number six, a discussion of adding the NETA controller to the National Finance Committee mailing list. There are 5 minutes scheduled for this item. If we can just hold off for 1 second while I get stopwatch going. I'll just subtract a few seconds. Why don't we go ahead with that? I'll motivate. I want to move that we add the Julie Kennard, the NETA controller, to our NFC mailing list. The reason being that she is, as aforementioned, the person who has her hands really on the actual work that's done on the Pacifica accounts, and I would like to shorten the route for information to get to her and keep her more closely in the loop and able to respond more quickly when COVID ends. I've been advised by Anita that the people at NETA will begin to travel more to do business with their clients. And at that point, we may need to have people standing in for Anita. And Julia would certainly be a wonderful addition for that purpose. And not to mention that even when Anita is here, it's sometimes good to have her with us. So that's the motivation. Yeah. Go ahead, R. Paul.
Yeah, what I have then is the motion is to add NETA controller Julie Kennard to the NFC mailing list.
Yes, except it's Julia.
J-U-L-I-A.
Yes.
I-A. Okay. All right. That's what I got.
Okay. Is there any other discussion or changes? Hearing none, is there any objection to that? Hearing none, we'll consider that approved. R. Paul, I assume you can make that happen?
I'll see if I can. If I can't, Fred can.
Very good. Thank you. Okay, we're going on then to number 7, which is a report, if available, on the KPFK fund drive. The KPFK treasurer, this is a 5-minute report and Q&A. Fred, this is just an opportunity to give us any updates that you may have had since the last time we heard about this.
Okay. The fund drive ended on November 5th. I believe that was last Thursday or maybe Friday. The drive was 32 days in length. The total pledges that were received by KPFK were $186,761, with a daily average pledge rate of $5,836 per day. At the end of the drive, the daily take, our daily pledges started to increase. The beginning of the drive was very slow. And of course, this was the first fund drive for our new general manager, Miguel Quesada. And so he's still in the process of learning about how we do fund drives and learning how to optimize the fund drive. This is better than the summer fund drive, which I believe had a daily average of $5,500. So this is just a little bit better, but it is below the level of operating expenses for the station, the daily average operating expenses for the station, which is about $8,300 a day. So we're surviving, but we're not doing much more than that at this point. Do anybody? I'm going to open it up for questions if anybody has it at this point.
I do have a question. I think I heard someone else though. Go ahead.
This is Lydia. Also.
Go ahead, Lydia.
Yes. So based on some recommendations that the finance committee had made earlier before the new general manager Miguel Quesada started, he took a deep dive look into our telephone. So he believes he can reduce the cost of these our telephone costs from like the $60,000 plus that we're spending a year to a fraction of that. It was done at KPFA. We're looking at having the gentleman who helped reduce that cost has offered to help at KPFK. And so that should be significant. So he's going back, looking at the various things that the Finance Committee has already formally recommended and implementing them. So we are starting to see green shoots. The point is that even though it was believed and it was reported that everything that could be cut had been cut in terms of other expenses beyond staff, it turns out that there are some other things that can be reconfigured. And so those costs will be going down in terms of that daily average expense as well.
Actually, Lydia, the telecom expenses are approximately $10,000 a month for about $115,000 a year. So we were hoping for something in excess of cutting expenses by something in on the order of $80,000 a year.
Right. So I don't know where I got the 60,000. He might have said 80. I don't know. We'll have to see what they end up with when they finish the process of analyzing and doing, because we have it as a sample, what they were able to cut at KPFA, and having kind of a similar system that we're hoping that the same can be done here, even though they're different telephone companies here. But there you go.
Well, and keep in mind that the cuts were done. We didn't budget for them to be the whole year. they weren't going to be implemented until probably December or January. I can't remember.
Okay.
Thank you, Julie. Julie, you can just add yourself to the stack whenever you feel like speaking.
Alex,
help everyone. I hear you, Alex. Linden, I'm going to put myself on the stack as well. And then did I hear Linden?
Yeah.
We'll do Alex, Linden, and then me. Okay. Go ahead, Alex.
Okay. Well, $5,800 a day strikes me as an abysmally low number for KPFK. I know KPFK used to easily do well over $10,000 a day. And could you tell me what, if you could compare that figure with what the fall fund drive was like the previous year and maybe the year before that?
Yeah.
Let me finish. I understand that this is a new general manager and he's learning the ropes, but you do have like a team in place at KPFK that knows how to do fundraising. Has their expertise been utilized? I mean, what is going on? How would you explain this fall? I'm pretty sure there is a fall, and I'd like to hear the figures on that, and how would you explain it?
Well, a year ago we were doing, or before the pandemic hit, we were doing on the order of $19,000 a day average in pledges. So in fiscal year 20, I'm looking at my treasurer's report where I have tables of all these numbers. We've taken quite a fall over the last 18 months. And you're right. I mean, $5,500 a day is the worst fund drive we've, KPFK has ever had. I mean, we're talking maybe 30 years, adjusted for inflation. So, and this year, fiscal year 21 has been a disaster. I mean, I'm sorry, what month did you, what fund drive do you want to know the daily average on, from last year at this time?
Well, I was looking, I understand last year was, an anomaly because of the pandemic. So, but even so, I know the pandemic has caused a drop in revenue from listeners, but I don't know of any other station where it caused like this is almost a fourfold drop you're talking about. I mean, I think, like the fund drives at BAI, maybe we went down 20%, but not four times or something like that. So, it's a huge, huge drop. I'd like some explanation of that.
Fred, before you go on with that explanation, Fred, could you hold for 1 second?
Sure.
We are out of time for this item, so I see that we have two people remaining on the stack, and we have a dialogue going here. So I'm going to ask if we could have a motion to extend time.
I move that we extend time for 5 minutes. This is Lyndon.
Thank you, Lyndon. Is there any objection to 5 minutes? Hearing none, I'll ask you to go ahead, Fred. Thank you.
Okay. I wanted to say that the daily average in fiscal year 19 for October was $21,000 a day. And we took a precipitous drop in fiscal year 20, which was when the pandemic hit. Basically, our income was cut in half and our fund drives suffered terribly. And then this year, fiscal year 21, our drives just collapsed. Now, our February fund drive in this year was our daily average was $10,500 a day. When we go to the April fund drive, our daily average drops to $9,000 a day. And then our July fund drive, which was our summer fund drive, was half of that. It was $5,499 a day. The basic reason that the summer fund drive tanked was we have like five or six major fundraising programmers, and two of those basically resigned from the station. And that and that's where we took the major hit. Those people were like I believe the second and third largest fundraisers at the station for they've been that way for I'm not going to mention names because that's getting into personnel, but those people were have been in those positions for at least 10 years. And and plus there was this was during the time of the New Day Pacific bylaw election referendum, and they were spewing out political propaganda on that at the same time that they were funding.
Point of order.
Is that Sharon? What's your point of order?
No, this is Teresa.
I'm sorry, Teresa.
I think it's inappropriate to use the expression spewing out propaganda.
Well, I'm sorry for that characterization. I apologize.
Fine. Let's move on then. Thank you.
But there was political viewpoints being expressed on the air openly, and I think that took its effect. And I think that that's continuing. And I can't go any farther than that kind of that statement. Going to any more details.
Yeah, I think you can actually. You can describe what was going on without making judgments about it, because almost all of this information is out there in the public arena. So there's nothing confidential about it.
Point of order. I believe we're supposed to be talking about numbers, and there are other people on the list, and I believe Mr. Steinberg just spoke without being recognized by the chair. We extended time to have a discussion of the numbers. We know that KPFK has reduced numbers, so can we proceed on from that point and avoid the discussion of why? Because that's not what the NFC is about. That's what the PMB should be talking about.
Okay, you've made a point of order, and I appreciate the point of order. I will point out that everyone, including the maker of the point of order, didn't wait to be recognized before they started speaking. So, yeah, it would help us if we tried to restrain ourselves and wait for recognition and seek recognition before we speak. But I'm going to rule that other than speaking out of turn, that our chairman of the board, Alex Steinberg's comments were not otherwise out of order. I'm going to ask him to go ahead and continue or finish or whatever, wherever he was.
No, I just wanted to make the point that it's absolutely legitimate to try to find out why a fund drive is tanking. That is absolutely part of the responsibility of the National Finance Committee. And there's no big, the National Finance Committee is a committee of the National Board. So if it's the duty of the National Board, it's also the duty of the National Finance Committee.
Okay, let's get off the debating the point of order and go back to the discussion that you were making. Were you done with that? Did you have any other point to make?
I'm asking Alex right now.
I just wanted a response from Mr. Blair to my questions.
I appreciate that. Go ahead, Fred, if you're ready.
Yeah.
If you have a response.
Yeah. The programmers were, or one of the programmers was telling his supporters to make, rather than make pledges to the station, to make pledges at his website, outside of the organization, are to sign up as a monthly sustainer, so that they could cut off their sustainers if they were unhappy with the way the election the not the election, but the bylaws, bylaws referendum, turned out. So, there's definite, attempts at, sabotaging the fund drive is what I'm saying.
Okay. On that note, I'm going to note that we are out of time for this item. And unless, someone wants to move to extend time, I'm going to say that, I'm going to ask that we, run out the stack and then move on to our next item. Does anybody want to extend time on this? Okay, let's just go ahead and finish the stack then. So, Lyndon, you're next.
Thank you. I figured.
Excuse me, point of order. Excuse me, point of order. This is Sharon.
Go ahead, Sharon.
If there's been no extension of time, then we do not run out the stack. We move on to the next agenda item. Yeah, that's how it works.
I move
all right, then I'll ask
for
a motion to extend time. Is there any objection? I heard you, Lyndon. Thank you. Is there any objection? Hearing none, we'll go another 5 minutes if necessary. That's a practice,
you,
by the way, that we frequently engage in on the PMB, and I don't think we need to be quite so formal, but go ahead, Lyndon.
Thank you, everybody, for giving me the opportunity to speak. Since Lydia, since you opened that Pandora's box on the telecommunications, we've been trying to, for, I don't know, 3 or 4 months, or maybe more, we've been trying to get contracts so we could get a little better idea of what can be done. And so if you could help facilitate that the NFC can get a look at those contracts, and also if you could let us know when the person from the Bay Area is coming down to help in redoing the situation there, that would also be appreciated. And what month, Julia, what month did you say that you think the cuts are on the budget? Because we definitely need to hit that. We need to hit a target here. Thank you.
I'm sorry, Fred. Could you repeat your question to Julia?
This is Lyndon. And my question was, what month does the reduction in the budget take place in the telecommunication expenses? Because that's a target we definitely need to hit.
I believe it was December. I might have pushed it to January, but
okay, so this is
it was not
later
than immediate.
It's immediate.
Keep in mind, we made the budget.
And this is Lydia, if I may.
Go ahead, Lydia.
Yeah. So what I understand is that the current contracts. We've been in the process. Mikhail has been getting himself out of them. So we have not only not renewed, but we have negotiated ourselves out of a lot of those contracts, which is very pressing for us to get into, you know, is to find the solution for the other. And it's not Mikhail slowing it down. It's Cynthia and I are working out some of the things of having to do with the person who is going to be helping with this project, and that should be resolved in the next day or two. Probably the next day, probably by tomorrow.
Are you done, Lyndon? Lyndon,
yes,
were you
I
done?
Am. Yes, I yes,
okay.
I am. Thank you.
Oh, yes, and about the contest. I'm sorry, I forgot to respond.
Go ahead, Lyndon, go ahead.
Yeah, I've never seen them. And so I think that Mikhail and should be able to, now that they've really gotten into it, should be able to send those to all of you. I'll remind him tomorrow. I don't know if he has all of them yet. And but digging and finding, that's what we've been doing.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Lyndon and Lydia. I will just add a little something on to that, is that I'm hearing that there are some people at the station who may have some knowledge or be able to assist in this endeavor, and I hope that Mikkel is using the staff there to full advantage in consulting with them to help him think about where to go and what may be redundant and what may be unnecessary telecom capacity at KPFK. And I want to go now to the question that I had earlier, and Fred, naively, I thought this was all I was really looking for in this report from you, and that is, are the numbers changing any? You know, you get a certain trickle in after a fund drive ends. You also have your fulfillment rate rising slowly sometimes, sometimes not so slowly, but I'm wondering if you have any new information about the fulfillment rate and how much is trickling in as we move further away from the date of the fund drive. Or with that 186,000 number, how old is that number?
That is as of 2 days ago, from the November 5th. And the fulfillment rate from the Allegiant system is about 78%, or supposedly we've got $145,000 of the 186,000, so there's 40,000 outstanding. I'm still learning about the Allegiant system. It's not like the system that we were using, the MEMSIS system that we've been using for, I guess, 20 or 30 years. So, I hope that's of some value. I don't know what is actually in the bank account for the station at this point in time, but, MEMSIS would seem to indicate that we should have on the order of 145,000, from this fund drive. And this is the October fall fund drive for KPFK.
Very good. Thank you for that, Fred. I appreciate that. And Fred, I don't know if you have it in the way of a formal report, but I know you've been sharing some of this information. If you have this information in a way that would be useful for the committee, if you could send that around, that would be helpful. I know you have been.
I sent my treasurer's report to the committee, I think, a week or two ago. I've downloaded the spreadsheets from the Allegiance report. I will send that out to the committee. I have it. I have pledges by day, and I have pledges by program, and I have the major programs listed in descending order, so you can see who's raising the most and who's not.
Wonderful. I'm sure Mikkel would benefit from some of that analysis as well.
Well, I assume he's getting. Okay. I'm assuming he's getting the same reports from the membership department, he should be getting even more detailed information by program, because he's managing the fundraisers, the programmers, so he needs that kind of information.
Sure. Well, you might just pass yours along to him as well. Even if it's redundant, it might be helpful. You never know.
I will do that.
So, good. Thank you, Fred. And that brings us to the close of this item, and that's number 7. And so now we're going to go to item number 8. Lydia, this I put this on when I heard that you were coming. We didn't talk about whether you would have anything to say, but when we have the pleasure of having your presence, and we want to use that to greatest advantage. And so if you have anything you want to report, we could do that now. We'll also, just so you know, we'll also be talking next about the national office budget. You'll have an additional chance to talk about it there. And of course, any other time in the meeting where you want to speak up. Is there anything you want to report as far as an IED report?
Well, I mean, I think that you hadn't had a finance committee since we received the EIDL loan, even though you made reference to it at the opening, I believe.
Correct.
So this is the SBA loan, and it is a continuum, so that last year we applied for the full $2 million. SBA cut down the grant of the $2 million to a maximum of $150,000 for everybody. And so we ended up getting the $150,000, which means that $150,000 is deducted from whatever we get through this our subsequent application. So so we applied in October and for the $2 million. And we received, on paper, we were awarded $500,000, but they deducted the $150,000 from the last batch, right? And we are able to apply for more. Now, the reason they stopped at that was because of a discrepancy between the IRS transcript and what we sent. We think it was because what was sent was a fiscal rather than annual accounting 990 when we amended our 990. We think that's all it is. So I had the choice of just putting it off so we get that larger amount or taking the 350 now, which I did because there's no problem in now applying for the rest of it. So we will be submitting on paper $2 million, realizing that that $500,000 is it would be reduced by, and see how much of that is we end up getting. So we're in the process of doing that. We had to amend our board motion accordingly. And there was one more amendment that the gentleman at SBA requested about 20 minutes ago. So that will go out tomorrow. And then we will be subsequently applying for more of the loan, which we don't have to pay for a couple of years in terms of, and it's a low-interest loan. I don't have all of those details in front of me. It's on the SBA site. And we want to do this before the year ends, so we are anxious to move ahead with that. And we set up a system. It was a system set up by the board that I recommended, which was to put the loan money as well as other monies of that sort into restricted accounts, restricted by the board. And so the mechanism is that in order to utilize the money, even if it's to pay certain payables, because obviously we're behind in payables, is that myself, Alex, and Anita have to sign off on it and copy the PMB, unless we have a PMB vote or meeting scheduled. But when it's kind of pressing and we have to make these payments, insurance, or whatever, that we can take it from that account. It's a separate account from our operation, national operations account. And that way we can keep things more easily segregated and people are more aware of what we use when we get these special kinds of monies in. And so so when the money came in, there were a list of things we had to send out and reimburse KPFA, for example, for a previous loan to KPFK, reimburse affiliates immediately, and then a couple of other items that we discussed at the board that we'll work out and then notify the board before paying those out. So I think that's a far more desirable way to go in order that we so that we don't get mixed up when there's a bequest and we haven't segregated out what we need to send to FJC, for example, and so forth, that it doesn't get inadvertently utilized. And we have to make our commitments to our units when we borrow money. So that's about it as far as the EIDL goes.
Good. Thank you, Lydia. Was it 2.75% interest for a 30-year term? Is that what you were?
Yeah, as I recall.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I think so. And it doesn't start right away. We haven't reached the date for the $150,000 we got last year either.
Right, there's an initial grace period where you don't have to pay, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, very good. Okay, we have Let me see. We have 4 minutes left. Does anybody else have any questions for Lydia?
I have a question.
Go ahead. Is that Teresa? Was that Sharon or Teresa?
Teresa and Sharon, I think.
Oh, very good. Okay. Who was first?
Go ahead, Sharon.
Oh, well, okay. Yeah, I think you were first, Teresa. But my question is quick, so let me just say this. It's actually a comment. I appreciate the comment about the 2.75% interest at 30 years, and that I understand that payments will not have to be made immediately. But I would like to point out that, of course, interest starts accumulating immediately. So that was my comment.
Thank you. That's a good comment. And I think I'll comment in a moment about the difference in interest between now and the FJC and the EIDL loan. But anyway, go ahead, Teresa.
Okay, I have a bunch of quick questions, and you can, if you don't have the answer, you can say, I don't know, and I can get the information for you later. Are we going to have an archives fundraiser in November or December?
It happened today.
Today it was. Well, that sort of shows you how little I know.
It's on for a couple more hours, so.
Okay, good. Are you meeting with the general managers, like on a weekly basis?
Try daily.
Daily.
I especially have lengthy conversations with Mikhail and with Robert at KPFT because they're new. So you can imagine coming into Pacifica new, that you can't even you don't know how anything works really. So that's required more. It's less and less each day, fortunately. But, because I can refer them to documents and whatever, but there's still an awful lot that you have to explain in terms of the mechanics. Plus, we have a nationwide, freeze and so on and so forth, and how you have to classify employees and what their own budget looks like and what everything means in it and so on and so forth. So there's a lot to deal with, primarily with them, but there are fires to be put out at all of the stations and information to be had. So, yes, I meet with them regularly, and I have not been having as frequent of the national meetings. I don't interrupt fund drives and other, vacations from general managers and so forth, and then we'll schedule another one before the holidays as soon as the archives fund drive is over today, so probably next week.
Okay. I was talking with our general manager, I guess, about a month ago, and he suggested that he is anticipating making up some of our money challenges with CPB and grant money. And I was under the impression that us getting CPB money depended upon all of the stations. And it wouldn't be just that, hey, KPFT is doing so well, we're going to get some CPB grant money. Also, I was under the impression that that all grant requests had to go through the national office, because you couldn't just, like, there was an incident where someone was applying individually for one of the stations for the PPP money, and that slowed up the process of everybody getting their PPP money. So,
And shortened my lifespan. Yes, that was WBAI. It was a duplicate application for PPP, and then it ended up impacting our EIDL loan at the time that was finally cleared up. But in terms of CPB, so nationally, now that we're getting all caught up with our audits and doing very well that way, yes, we will, as a foundation, as the entire foundation, be eligible for CPB, as far as I understand. When I spoke to them last year, we didn't have, once we dealt with that 2013 amount of $137,000 and paid that, we never had any reminders since 2013, so we didn't know, or I certainly didn't know. And so we paid that, so we didn't have any outstanding liabilities where CPB was concerned. in that regard. Now, the way that CPB works is that they have, we had, remember those historic $1 million grants that we used to get, and some, and we will be eligible for some of that. It's very much dependent on our listenership and also the diversity aspect of our listenership. And yes, KPFT and KPFK have had letters about deficiencies in that regard since 2008. They also, I believe, are using a different metric for measuring audience and so forth. So there are a lot of elements. But the other thing that people forget is that once we're eligible as a foundation, that we are able to apply for individual grants. So that even as you may recall, Teresa, you'll remember this, that when we were eligible as a foundation, that if we had a national show, we were able to get an additional grant for having a show that aired, any show that aired on three or more stations. And, you know, at the, way back in the day, that show was Democracy Now!, for example. So we got added money for that. You can get added grants for equipment. You can get added grants for special projects. Right now, it's probably we could appeal on podcasting or on some of the film content on Pacifica TV, or, you know, any number of additional grants. So we may not be able to get, there might be, I would expect that there will be 2 to 3 stations that might be under in terms of their audience. I think that I know WPFW rates quite high relative to the rest of our stations in the Nielsen's and so forth. And I think KPSA will be fine, even though it has gone down since we were last on eligible. But still, I expect that they'll still be eligible. And WBAI always was. I don't know how it fares today. So there are a lot of open questions about that. But as a foundation, if with our financials and so forth, we qualify, then there are a number of grants that can relieve us from things that we are already, you know, spending money on. But and by the way, I have not asked that grants go through the national office. I've asked that they notify me and NETA, and that'll be Julia and Tamara and Anita, of any grants they're thinking about applying for. Because when that happened with BAI, for example, that's when all of these kind of fly-by nights, and some of them were legitimate, were putting out, you know, apply now for such and such a grant. They didn't call it PPP, so it was very deceptive, and it just flooded the internet, and that's how that was just such a mess. And everybody was tempted, of course, we all are, every time we see something about an available grant to apply. So all we're asking is just that they let us know. I trust that that's what people have been doing. We have gotten a number of them. Archives always, you know, lets us know what they're doing, and so do other stations. And that way we won't duplicate and run into that same horrendous situation that we did last year. But they don't literally, it's not like we're making those grant applications for them. But they do need to let us know so that we are not duplicating efforts and slowing things down for the foundation.
Okay, my last set of questions.
Teresa, we're going to have to extend time if you're going to have a last question.
Okay, could I move that we extend it? I'm sure somebody else other than me has a question, so I'm going to say I move that we extend it 10 minutes.
You were the last on the...
Was I the last?
I did have one short comment, but you
and
are
I have
the
a
last.
Comment.
And
Sharon,
we do have Julia on the line, and we've got people here to, I think, talk about the national office situations. So could you? I'm going to ask you if you could make it a little less than that. You're within your rights to make it as much as
okay,
you want.
Okay, let's say 7 minutes.
Okay, that's your motion.
We can make it less. I mean, we don't have to take up the entire 7 minutes.
Yeah.
I think we're going to get an amendment, so...
Through the end of Teresa's question. Go ahead, Teresa.
Okay. The sale of our building.
Did we vote on that?
No, No, we need to extend time. I don't know what just happened there. Teresa, I was hoping that you might save us from having an amendment to shorten the length of time, maybe.
Okay, well, we have spent 2 minutes talking about making an amendment.
Correct.
I'll say five.
Correct. Go ahead.
You know, whatever. Five?
Okay, so your amendment is to extend time for 5 minutes. Is there any objection or discussion? Is there any discussion, first I'll ask. Hearing none, is there any objection? Hearing none, go ahead, Teresa. Thank you.
Okay. Regarding the sale of our building, we're wondering when that might actually, I mean, we've been told now that it sold 2 months ago, but we're, like, as treasurer, I'm just totally unaware as to what's happening with that. And also, I'm wondering who is responsible for looking for a new building. At this point, I've not heard that we had a realtor, and I would assume that if we had a realtor, that realtor would be looking out for us to either negotiate something or get us lined up with what we feel is important. So can you answer those questions? Like, when
might we need the money, and who's in charge of looking at the building? Okay, so these are proprietary issues that at the PMB we discuss in closed session. So if we want to have a closed session after we discuss the we can't even do that because the PMB has to release it to relate. So that's all I can say. But that's all I can say is the PMB will be dealing with this on Thursday night. And then I can recommend that the PMB vote to release some of the information to the LSB.
Well, would it not be appropriate at this time that our general manager, at no cost to us, just to have a realtor start looking at buildings?
It is up to the PMB. It's a legal document that has to be signed with a realtor, and I'm not at liberty. I can't discuss that right now. Like I said, we'll be discussing this in executive session on Thursday, and I will recommend that a certain amount of information, such as the board decides, should discuss it with the LSB in executive session.
Okay. Thank you, Lydia. Teresa, were you done?
For now.
Okay. I just have one quick comment, and it's not in response to what Sharon said, but it was prompted by what Sharon mentioned about the interest. And I just wanted to say that this getting an EIDL loan, which we can then use either directly or indirectly to pay back the FJC loan, is analogous to using your home equity line of credit to pay off a credit card at the lower interest rate of a home equity loan as opposed to the high rate of interest of a credit card. So the interest rate on the FJC loan is a certain percent plus prime. It's prime plus a certain number of points. And it's high compared to the 2.75% interest rate of the EIDL loan. So to the extent we can get more of that, the better.
Okay, James, I appreciate that comment, actually. And I did have a point that I would like to make also, a short point.
Go ahead, Sharon.
Yes, I thank you for that explanation, actually. That was helpful. I just wanted to say on the CPP money that the whole point is that the foundation must become eligible, and in order to become eligible, the audience numbers must be met. It happens first. So all this talk about applying for grants has to happen after the foundation has become eligible, which means meeting the audience target, complying with the other requirements. That's my comment.
Right. That's absolutely correct, as I understand it. Go ahead, Lydia.
Yeah, and so what we had before, as I said, 2008, we had two of our stations that were ineligible. That did not have any impact on the grants that KPFA, WPFW, or WBAI were eligible for. So they didn't combine them all and say, oh, because your two stations are not making it, your others can't get it. So that was just...
Okay, that's when Pacifica was already eligible, and to reapply
correct.
And to become eligible, the
exactly.
conditions will have to be met. Yes, okay.
Yes.
Well, that's different than what you were just saying.
Yes, that's what we had, situation we had in June when we thought we were at a June deadline for the application for the CPB grants, and came to realize that we, since we were out of the program, we had to apply as a new applicant, which meant that the date for that had already passed and it was back in May. So I assume Lydia's on top of that date for the upcoming year. I don't know if it's May of in 22 still, Lydia, but I'm sure we're all watching that. Or will be watching that and trying to become CPB compliant before then. So everyone should remember, even when we apply for CPB, we generally need to have a year of full compliance before we'll actually get any grant money as a new applicant. And so it's, you know, it's not going to be a quick fix in the short run. Okay. We are out of time for that item, so let's go to our next item. Thank you, Lydia, for that report. excuse me. And now we're going to go to item number 10. Oh, I'm sorry, number 9, which is an ICFO report. Again, Julia Kennard sitting in for Anita Sims. And Julia, you don't need to take the entire 20 minutes. We frequently do not, but it's there in case... It's a Q&A, and let's try and not delve too much into the national office and the central services formula on this item because that's our next agenda item. Julia?
Okay, well, I believe that between Lydia and the gentleman talking about KPFK, a lot of what I was going to talk about has been addressed. As you said, we... have paid the auditors for this prior year, so we're gearing up to get going with this year's audit. I was already through a good chunk, I guess through about July, and I just haven't been able to go back to it for several weeks with everything that's been going on with KPFK and trying to get these budgets and things done. But obviously, I think we're in a much better position pace-wise for this year's audit for fiscal year 21 than we were previously. The financials hopefully will be out. I would not say before Friday, but because I have to get them through Anita to make sure she's had time to review them. But again, I believe KPFA is still having some issues getting their revenue in. I'm not sure what the situation is with that, but I know that it's always takes a long time to get that in, and I just don't know enough about what's going on with their software that makes that such a challenge. I know that the staff there spent a great deal of time trying to get that reconciled. So she did go ahead and accrue some numbers today, but again, when somebody says they have to accrue it, that means that it's not balanced, so, or you know, hasn't been figured out. So I'll get with her tomorrow on that, and hopefully that'll push things along with getting September out. Let's see, we talked, the gentleman talked about KPFK. I know James and I have spoken about some ideas about trying to help facilitate getting some of the information in faster, you know, during the month to try to help speed up the production of the financials each month. We do have, I'm sorry, I had to log back into my computer and it's going to sleep while I was listening. As far as the bank, we do have, let me just make sure that it's, the national office has about $73,000, in the bank today, but that is after paying back the loan that KPFA had made to them. So, that $50,000, I think, went into payroll just to offset their portion of payroll that's due this week. And really, unless someone has questions.
Julie, I understand that the affiliates were also paid back the $13,000 that was borrowed from them?
Correct.
Very good.
Bravo.
Now, we still have, of course, funds outstanding from KPFK for prior payroll. They paid last month, last period, but they had to borrow those funds. And I'm trying to, I think the national office actually funded the payroll before this last one. So we'll be looking at the cash. With the conversion, we'll have our first big check cut for them this week. And so I'll be going through, you know, the open payables, which is very large right now for them, with, unfortunately, items all the way back to July. And actually, even further than that, that we've got to prioritize what we're paying.
Hi, Mariana. I'm on the finance committee. Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. You know what?
Lydia, you need to mute. You need to mute. Okay, I think she did. Sorry, Julia. Go ahead.
That was it. Just saying that we've, you know, we're going to have to definitely prioritize things. Their open payables plus what they owe the national office is substantially higher than what their cash available is right now. And like you said, we've ended fund drive, so we expect those deposits to be dropping off. But Mikhail has done a great job in really digging in. He's been very helpful, anything I've had questions about. And he's been very hands-on as far as trying to understand who the vendors are and working with them to either get things changed or reduced. So he's doing what he can.
Can you take some questions, Julia?
Absolutely.
I have one myself. Let me ask a quick one. Where do we stand on starting the audit? I don't recall if the PNB made any decision on this yet, but are we going to go, are we assuming that we're going with Rogers? Are you talking to them at all about preparations? I think the PNB, Alex maybe can comment on this as well. I think that PNB has to formally make the decision to hire them, and they have to formally agree to accept our offer.
I'm going to defer to Alex on that. I was under the impression that we were moving forward with that. I have not seen the agreement that's been signed, but I do know that we paid our past due amount to them to make sure that
right. They
could start the audit. So I hope
that was that was my understanding. Alex, do you have any comment on that?
Well, it's usually we go by whatever the recommendation is of the audit committee. The audit committee has not met in a while, so we haven't gotten any recommendation. And I will also say, in general, if we've had gone through a successful audit process with one firm, we generally want to rehire that same firm unless there's some reason not to. And I'm not aware of any reason not to rehire the same firm.
Correct. Thank you for that. Is there any other question or comment that anyone would like to make?
This is Lyndon from SAC.
Go ahead, Lyndon.
Thank you. Hi, Julia. 2 weeks, I think it's 2 weeks ago, we were told that the accounts payable at KPFK were 189. What are they today?
I would say that it's pretty close to that. Payables that I have sitting here, that I have the open payables report that I was reviewing kind of while y'all were talking a little bit, I think has $136,000. That doesn't include, I know it's over $200,000 now because we still owe, KPFK still owes the national office for two rounds of large insurance payments. Plus a payroll, so that's going to be $100,000 there. So we're probably at least at $230,000.
Thank you.
And that's past due and through, you know, probably any invoices that we have had up through yesterday.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Lyndon. Does anybody else have any other questions? We have about a minute left with Julia.
Teresa with a question.
Go ahead, Teresa.
Julia, do you have access to the KPFT account now to see what our balance is at any time?
Let me check. Is that if it's Bank of America? Yes. And I have it sitting here. I just can't remember if KPFT is on that.
Are they Bank of America?
Yeah, I do not have that. I just have access to the Bank of America account. But I can have somebody email whomever needs that tomorrow.
Our bank still is refusing to allow you to see how much our balance is.
Tamara might have access. I just don't do not have that.
Okay.
What I've been working with mostly has been dealing with KPFK lately, and so I, to be honest, only asked for access to the Bank of America account.
No problem. Thank you.
Lydia, are you still? Can you still hear us?
Yes, I'm taking other Pacifica calls.
I see that.
Payroll stuff. Anyway.
We're always double-tasking, I get
yes,
that.
Yes, always double-tasking. I have a few DocuSign things. Okay, so what was the question?
The question was, we've been asking this for a while. We passed that motion giving NETA eyes-only access to the bank accounts of the various stations, and KPFT was lagging in making that available. I'm just wondering if you are aware if they've done that yet? Julia doesn't happen
to
know.
It goes by specific names. So it's not like we can add NETA. We have to see. They might have already added. Tamara was the last one that I understood had was given access. But, I can ask Tamara in the morning.
That would be wonderful if we could facilitate that. That would help.
Yeah, it's a fairly easy thing to do. With Wells Fargo is way easier than BOA. And Chase, forget it. It'll never happen. So
yeah, Chase, we had to actually send the chair of the board along with the general manager down there and do it in person during the pandemic.
Exactly. Yeah, I tried to do it from L.A. and it never worked. So okay.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate that. Thank you for focusing on that for us. Okay, so I think we're out of time for this item. And that brings us to the next item. Number 10, which is the National Office Budget and the Central Services Formula. I just want to give this a little bit of introduction. I think Julia already spoke about the fact that this is not, we're not looking at the final draft of a budget. In fact, we're looking at almost the first time out in trying to develop the new template and new chart of accounts that we discussed and passed a motion on that went to the PMB, and the PMB passed it, charging NETA with coming up with a revised chart of accounts and new budget templates that were uniform throughout the network. So this is now we're getting into this. We're starting to implement it. And, again, not finalized. We'll vote on it eventually when we have enough experience with it to think we have it finalized. But this is a step forward in making that happen. Do I have that right, Julia?
Yes.
Okay. With that understanding, would you like to go ahead and present what you have created? This is your work we're looking at, which is very impressive in my own humble opinion. Would you like to start presenting what you have here?
Sure, and I'm not sure, are people looking at a screen or is everybody just looking at their own?
We had some difficulty earlier on where I couldn't seem to get it to send, I couldn't get the attachment to send on my phone, but I believe before we started the meeting, everybody acknowledged that they did have it. So if everybody could take a few seconds to go to it, and then you'll have to tell us which one you want us to be looking at, because there were several.
Mm-hmm. All right.
So where would you like to start? Why don't we focus on where to start so people can go and look at that?
I'll just start in general about how this is set up. And what I
Okay, before you do that, I'm sorry, let me make a brief reminder to the committee that this is not a final product. We want this not to be released just yet. This is a rough draft. So this is not ready for prime time in terms of publication. So if everybody could please respect that and give us a chance to continue to work on it so we can get it right. Appreciate that. Go ahead, Julia.
Mm-hmm. So what I decided to do was keep in mind how everyone is accustomed to seeing the numbers through the way the financial statement is laid out. And while financial statements are great for people maybe like me, I know that everyday people who don't work in this all the time, it's not that enjoyable. So, but I tried to keep with the same theme. So I set up tabs in my spreadsheets that are based on those categories of administrative, salaries and related expenses, administrative, programmatic, then board and central services. And, of course, with the national office, the revenue is nowhere near as complex as it might be for the station. So you can see that on the first page, which is the summary page. What I did not do is I did not include a follow-up detail page for the revenues, and simply because there's not a lot of complexity to the revenues. You know, right now they're not in a position to be able to apply for grants. I know that that's definitely something that's on the horizon and wants to be done. I'll leave that to Lydia to speak to that, which I'm sure she will. But, you know, they just don't have a lot of options right now with that. The income from affiliates, as you'll see here, I did not include it because they are spinning off and doing their own thing like the stations are, and I apologize for the choice of words. I'm not familiar with everyone's semantics. I like to refer to things, but so they will, instead of us having the income from affiliates recognized here, we'll be receiving central services from them. But so what I did was I took these sub-spreadsheets and rolled them up into this just to make it easier so you could see the categories. What our projected year end is for 2021 versus the annual budget. And if you just jump down to the bottom, you can see that we are in a little bit of a crunch. And so I do have the backup how we got to the expenses behind this. And as I had said to Anita and to James, you know, and Lydia, my brain just works a little bit differently. I like to be able to really understand the story behind the numbers and see what the contracts are and which ones are ones that are going to be continuing versus these are ones that we're going to be dropping off. And I think that any time that you're in a situation where times are hard, you know, it's easy to be on the finance committee when things are good, but when times are hard, I do think we need more details. And so that's why I felt like it was worth very good time to be well spent time to go through and really dig through the invoices and really see what the expenditures had been this past year. So again, this is a tool to be used to develop the budget, to come up with what we think the final budget will be, and not for dissemination right now. It's just really allowed me to get input from people like Arthur regarding the legal expenses and from Lydia about election expenses and things like that. And I think it helps you really better understand what makes all this up. The biggest thing, and it's still staying on page one where the summary tab is, or the summary statement is, you can see that if you go right above total expenses, you see central services. Probably should not be shocking that that is going to be decreasing because of the way we calculate it. And I believe, James, correct me if I'm wrong, that's going to be a separate conversation, not necessarily a focus of the moment.
Well, unfortunately, or fortunately, it's just what it is. Central services are inextricably intertwined with the national office budget because that's the foundation of the National Office of Budget is the central services. We have other sources of income, but that's the main one. And so it's, you can't really separate them, but our main focus today, yes, is looking at the budget. But if you have comments on central services, I think it's central to the issue. We have to deal with them together because they are, you know, you can't separate them. So, yeah, whatever you'd like to say about that, please go ahead.
Well, for those who are not necessarily familiar with looking at how central services hit the report, you can see that it's a negative number there. And just to point out that in the far right column, the difference between the 2 years is $277,000. That is not in the right direction. That is a drop. So we're predicting that we would receive $277,000 less in central services this year than we did the prior year. Now, keep in mind also that that's on paper because some stations have not been able to pay in a timely manner. So you can't rely on it necessarily from across the board from every station each month for it to come in.
Excuse me. Point of information, this is Sharon.
Go ahead, Sharon.
I'm trying. I see Julia where you're talking about those numbers, and what is confusing to me. This is my request for information. Is where it says central services, it shows parentheses, which means negative, right? Negative 1,412,995. But I thought that should be accounted as income to the national.
It's really just an accounting thing. You know, y'all are all one entity, so we can't include it as income because you're one entity. So we actually have it as a reduction in expenses rather than a revenue. So that's why it's negative.
Okay.
If you were separate entities, separate tax ID numbers, that would be correct. But since you're not, that's why we have to show it as a reduction in expenses instead of revenue.
Okay, that actually makes sense. Thank you.
Yeah, it does. Thank you for the question, Sharon. It does make sense. Go ahead. Julia, go ahead.
Okay. Even looking at moving up the line, and I guess I probably shouldn't have jumped straight to central services, but that's such the key player. When you look at the $277,000 drop in that and we're projecting first round of this, a loss of $255,000, there is a big connection there between why we're not able to balance the budget currently because of that drop in central services. If you look up at the expenses right above that, where we're going into personnel, board, administrative, blah, blah, we budgeted even less than what we actually have incurred this prior year so far. Again, those are unaudited numbers yet. We still have to finish that up and clean up September, but, it's probably a fairly decent projection, we hope. So, again, I think I was not here before, but it appears that staff has been cut. There are things that we cannot avoid in the administrative expenses and the board expenses. I was hoping that we might be able to cut those more with some of the legal fees and the not legal fees, I apologize, the election expenses. But it sounds like from my conversations with Lydia that was not an option since we have another whole round of elections in fiscal year 22. So the pages 12 through 13 of this packet that are the details that go into build those expense categories. And I'm not really sure to what degree everyone would like to go into them, but I'm happy to explain how I have this set up and kind of go through that because I know it's a lot to look at. So let me know how you would like me to go forward with it, talking to this, because I don't want to go down a rabbit hole that maybe you don't want me to go down.
Julia, I'm going to note that we are now about 8 minutes from our time certain to close our meeting, which can be extended, but It's clear to me we're not going to get through this tonight. So I just want everybody to take note of that. And, you know, perhaps we could stay at a high altitude in reviewing this for the last few minutes of the meeting and understand that we're going to come back to it again next time when hopefully the members of the committee will have had their own time to look at it more closely.
Okay. Well, as you're,
but you know, let's, you know, anybody can ask any questions that they have, of course. But do you want to entertain some questions before we get to our close, or do you want to? Was there more that you wanted to say about the overview?
Well, let me just mention this: if it was in a spreadsheet workbook that I had sent out, it would probably make more sense because you would see the tabs. And so, just keep that in mind as you flip through the pages. You will see at the top. But there's a header that says, you know, fiscal year 22 admin expense budget. And then that one is several pages because it's the largest. And then you will see another one where it changes in the header is, you know, programming budget. And then you'll see another one where it's the board and election budget. So that header at the top where you'll see that the general ledger account numbers are summarized at the top, that lets you know you're in a different category. It'll make sense once you start flipping through it.
Yeah, I can see that. It does. I agree. It does make sense.
And this is Lydia.
Go ahead, Lydia.
Yeah, so this morning was the first time that Julia, who is a relatively new relative to NETA's assignment on this. I had been working with Tamara over time. And so a lot of things were clarified from both ends. So there is going to be more work, but also this committee needs to also take into consideration, as you had mentioned, that the basis of this is central services. Historically, up until the past, I don't know, James, maybe 3 or 4 years, maybe 3 years,
mm-hmm.
That the mechanism by which you arrive at central services is what it is today, right, based on last year's and so forth at each unit. That back in the day when we had reserves and when the national budget was balanced, that's not what it was, right? It was a fixed percentage, 19% actually at one point, and then 17%. But at some point, you have to work in the national budget needs. The national budget does not have its own programming or its own programming access. They're not on every day. There's no mechanism beyond. We're tied to grant rejection based on our overall financials, right? And so on and so forth. So so you're going to have to figure out, in my opinion, a way back. In other words, this is what the obligations are, which have to include FJC loans. There's no way around it. And not just the interest, which is what's in the budget. And but the payment, and, you know, if it were me, I would start out by saying you divide what we have to pay by 12, right? It's going to, the extension is going to come due next October. So all of that has to be in there with the realization that there are caveats and that there will be other things that can reduce that amount if we apply some of the EIDL loan, blah, blah, blah. But it's still, we can't not have it before our eyes, these various obligations, and factor it into whatever central service distribution is. That's my only comment on this. But I know that Julie and I in the next few days are going to be discovering a lot of things that will be beneficial and not to the budget. But I think there will be more clarity next time.
Well, and
Lydia,
I did put the notes from our conversation about some of those potential things that could be on the bottom of that summary tab of the summary sheet, the page one. course, I'm right. understanding I probably should not have put that there, but anyway, it is
right.
there.
But we also, are the elections in the summary sheet, next year's elections? I don't see. Yeah, okay. They're in board? No, they're not in board. They're in board?
Yeah, they're in board. Board, and they're on the same page.
So the 166,000 for the elections next year. Okay. That was what I'm looking for.
Lydia, I want to ask you, understanding that we are all keenly aware of the inability to get juice out of a lemon that you've squeezed so many times, but is there any thinking about possible national fundraising days where all the stations focus on trying to raise money for the national office, as we've done in the past?
I think our time is not well spent on that right now. Quite frankly, I do think that's a full board meeting discussion. I can tell you, having tried it once, not only do we not have an interface to take donations besides on the website, that no matter how good the programming is, they're not used to having you on every day, and they're going to tune out if it's not their programmer and blah, 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 for one thing. And number two, we don't have a national production staff. And so no matter how many people at the beginning of that proposal volunteered to produce and to share their programming and do their outreach and do blah, blah, when it came down to it, Bolina ended up practically killing herself, having to do all of the editing for everything, just about. And despite the goodwill, everybody, all the stations are really busy with their own programming, and even though they share it, you have to fit it into that day's schedule, and the entire phone system was not set up at KPFK. That was another nightmare. And so we had unique programming, Director Greg Nava and just all kinds of people that stepped up to participate, and yet it was no more than when I send out an email. That's how much I raised in that all-day programming, with weeks of preparation and effort, and I didn't find it useful. I get more out of a membership email, like I plan to do for end of the year.
Yeah, that all makes sense, Lydia. I do understand exactly what you're saying. Use what we've got. It's already up and operating, and try to increase the income from there and get the central services flowing a little more normally. One thing I might suggest is maybe if we could make it a national priority somehow to make sure that every single station without exception is letting members know when their membership lapses, just to give them a reminder of some kind. I think Allegiance makes it possible to do that more easily than it was in the past.
Right.
I hope we could at least start there.
Yeah, not all stations are on Allegiance. But I thought it was a good effort. I received a phone call from KPFT volunteers who were making calls. They don't even have a station right now, and they were in a building that was offered by one of their listeners, and they were making calls, and said, renew your membership. And, every station does need to do that. And our greatest cost was election costs that ends up being significant is all of the problems with the databases at all of the stations, Allegiance or not. There are only three stations on Allegiance, and I'm not saying that that's the best model, by the way. I'm just saying all of the send me a ballot, I didn't get it because the databases are not current. Renee assures us we could cut significant costs to these elections if we just had all of our databases current.
So. Yeah, I think that's good information. I'll also just say briefly, I think I've been saying this privately to directors and other people who I have conversations with. One of our best bangs for our no bucks, because we don't have the bucks, one of the best bangs we can get is that kind of phone calling, outreach to our lapsed members, to our current members, and try and generate some income that way. At this point, I have to say that it is now 10:18 p.m. We are past our time certain for concluding our meeting. So I think it's even too late now to ask for an extension of time. So I'd like to thank Lydia Brazan, our executive director. I'd like to thank Alex Steinberg, our chair of our board. And I'd like to thank Julia Kennard, our controller from NETA, for attending with us tonight. And thank everybody on the call for a good meeting.
Okay.
And did you want to say anything extra?
No.
Okay.
Okay.
So I guess I'm declaring we are adjourned because we're over time.
Okay.
Good night.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night,
all.